You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Jordan Sather. Jordan Sather is a young, inspiring truth seeker and activist hailing from the Pacific Northwest. His spiritual awakening occurred while in college, which he proceeded to drop out from to find his greater path. After working in the natural health arena for 7 years, he ventured onto online media and education in order to diversify his message to include all esoteric and hidden truths that he believes humanity needs to learn. He shares his perspectives online through his Destroying the Illusion YouTube channel, which has gained over 36,000 subscribers and 3 million views, and on Facebook, where he has 10,000 followers and at speaking engagements around the country. You can find out more on his website, www.jordansather.com. So let's welcome him to the show now. Hi, Jordan. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How's it going, Lance?
Good, good. I'm looking forward to this interview because I follow your posts on Facebook. I like to see them first. And they're really pretty much all in alignment with my own views. How did you arrive at so much knowledge about what's really going on? And did it have anything to do with your spiritual awakening?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, my spiritual awakening per se was because of finding out how wrong things were in this world. You know, some people's spiritual awakening is very gentle, I find, and that they find maybe some new age books and they slowly get into it, you know.
Yeah,
mine was totally I was broken the first day, and then
wow.
You know, after that, how do I want to go about this? When I did drop out of college, you know, and start working in the health arena, I worked at a local health food store, and the people around me there knew very well most of what was going on this planet. They knew about the banking and the Rothschilds and chemtrails, things like that. So, you know, they were very gracious though. They didn't throw me into it. They let me choose. But then once I asked, they showed me this information. I was like, whoa. And then once I found out things were askew, I was just hungry. I was hungry for the truth. I just don't like to see people disempowered, you know, and disempowered by being ignorant, but also disempowering themselves for choosing to stay ignorant. So not only did I start searching, you know, within just a few months, I was pretty much down every single rabbit hole you could think of. And so I was finding out the truth and then finding out ways to convey that truth to people to get them to see it. So that's kind of where my awakening process went.
Yeah. Well, you cover a wide range of corrupt and interesting subjects, and many of them, I call them conspiracy truths because they really are not theories anymore. They're just truths that have been waylaid as theories, and that's one of the ways that we get convinced that the things are not real, that, you know, there's something that's a theory. But for most of us that have delved into this stuff, it's fact.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when it first started for me, I definitely went into the typical depressive stage. A couple years there, I don't even think I had any social media accounts for a good point in time. But I still researched. I was still researching online for, you know, multiple hours a day, watching documentaries and all that jazz. So disconnecting myself from social media helped because then I wasn't wasting my time with anything. And I was actually retaining a lot of the information that I was seeing. And, you know, eventually I kind of came out of the conspiracy closet, you could say, and I got more comfortable with sharing a lot of this information. And then it was about a year ago that I really stuck my head out into the fray, started writing a few articles for a couple blogs and websites, and then kind of realized that I'm better at speaking than I am at writing. So that's when the YouTube channel started.
Well, that kind of happened to me, too, because I was doing a radio show set for, starting about 11 years ago, and then there was so much information about 2012, and that was a big deal. And then my Facebook account got waylaid with somebody that had taken it over, so I wasn't on there for quite a few years, and then I think I returned about 4 or 5 years ago just to, you know, get in touch with people that I knew. And it is actually a good venue to, you know, put what is of interest to us, because there are others of like mind that want to know these things too, or who already know, and, you know, maybe we're preaching to the choir as well.
Yeah, totally.
But it's still a lot of fun, and, you know, I've always been one to be, to enjoy upsetting the apple cart. Sometimes I think I'm around to stir up the SHI, and you know what, and,
totally.
You know, that's always been a great joy to me, kind of bursting balloons and sacred cows and all that. And I see that you kind of have a tinge of that yourself.
I definitely do. And,
yeah,
you know,
like
the whole
that.
YouTube thing, not only are you, you know, getting your word out there, trying to rock the boat and ruffle some jimmies or whatever the case is, but
right.
On the other hand, it's I've found it to be very cathartic. It's
yeah.
just very healing to get a lot of your – whether it's anger or sadness or joy or whatever it is, you know, we don't have, most people, I should say, don't have people around them that they can talk to about this stuff. I mean, I have plenty of people online I can talk to, but actual face-to-face contacts, very minimal, unless I go to a gathering or something to that effect. So it's just, it's very healing, and it feels good to get a lot of these words out. It feels great to know that I'm helping people see things a little clearer and find their way a little better.
Mm-hmm.
And also it's very, I would say the main reason I started this YouTube channel, not just to spread the truth and help people out, but to deal with my own shadows. Because one of my biggest shadows was simply not speaking my truths.
Mm.
I had so many, not only business relationships, but family relationships and personal relationships over the past 10, 15, even so years that I was in where I wasn't speaking up for myself. I wasn't sharing what I needed to share and, you know, saying the truth as loud as I should have said it. So I started this YouTube channel. And I think it was just all in the divine plan for me to do, just to deal, you know, heal myself and deal with my shadows.
Well, that sounds very familiar. And your YouTube channel is Destroying the Illusion, I heard. So it has quite a few views, I guess.
Yeah, it's gotten it's done well over the past 9 months.
Nice, nice. Well, you have had quite kind of almost a meteoric rise in popularity and in people really resonating to what you're saying. And I think a lot of that has to do with just the freshness of hearing the truth again, but, you know, from another person. And it's so simple, and you present it beautifully. And I just think that it's time for people to be doing that.
Yeah, yeah. Like you said, meteoric rise. I could have never, ever expected, you know, this to happen. And it's amazing how it all has. And I'm just trying to take this opportunity and use it as responsibly as I can.
Right, absolutely. Is there anything that you would like to share about yourself? Since most of the time that you're covering a subject when you're doing a video or when you're posting on Facebook, what would you like all the people that follow you to know about you or to hear from you?
That I am just a normal human I put my pants on. I usually go right leg and then left leg. I don't know, some people might go left, right, but I put my pants on the same way anyone else does. I wipe my butt the same way. I wake up and drink water and eat probably the same food. I'm assuming most people eat as organic as they can, but you know, you get my point. Just I'm human too. And I think, you know, as I'm meeting more, how do I want to describe it? I want to describe this without sounding egotistical, but as I'm meeting more popular names, more well-known and renowned names, I find how human they are. And then I see the chatter on the internet talking all this stuff about them, and the chatter on the internet, they don't even have like the slightest clue or accurate perspective on whether it's this person or this group, or do you see what I'm saying though?
Yeah,
people,
yeah.
I mean, with such narrow perspectives, they think that they know all this stuff or can, you know, can have these opinions, but the opinions just don't mean anything because they don't have the slightest clue. So just understand that people that you see, you know, on TV or on these screens and whatnot that you think are so far above you, they're not that far above you. They've maybe done a little bit more research and put the actual effort into learning themselves, but you can do it too. Anybody can do this kind of stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
Everybody also has their faults. I have my faults.
Yep.
Other people have their faults in this industry, you know? Everybody does. So that's basically it. I mean, anybody who is, I would say, achieving that level of, quote, stardom or whatever the case is, it's not that they're better. It's just they're dealing with their shadow selves more courageously than others are. That's the only
right.
thing I'd say, you know?
And it's also important to not put people on a pedestal.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
You know, go into worship, because there are running programs that the Matrix keeps going that encourage people to worship movie stars and rock stars and political people and, you know, rich people. And there's all kinds of things going on, but we're encouraged to worship people that are, in their eyes, better than us, who are like the gods. And so I've fallen into that many times where I've had somebody on my show, and I've just been kind of in awe of them and like a little puppy dog. And within a few months, they've fallen off the pedestal. And not only that, but they've broken a few pieces of china along with it. And so I've seen it happen over and over again that sometimes the people who have the best projection and seem to have it the most together are really quite a mess.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
totally.
It's scary.
And you're like, why was I even emulating this person? I mean, I can do that better than they. And then,
right.
Exactly. Don't place anybody on a pedestal. And then exactly like you said, the Matrix specifically places people on a pedestal to be worshipped, to
yep.
foster that victimized mindset.
Yep.
They love that victim mentality, you know.
Oh,
poor
yeah.
me. These elites are keeping humanity down. Poor us. There's nothing we can do. La, 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 la. You know?
Exactly. And
it's
thing
funny.
Is, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, it's funny lately that, you know, a lot of people are, I mean, I understand the system that we have is not conducive to a natural, well-functioning human, but while we're in this system that we have, isn't it almost like a challenge to like make money in it and
not be
a wage slave? I mean, I've kind of gotten to a point now where I'm kind of looking at it as a challenge to use the system that we're currently dealing with against itself.
Yeah.
And that I'm going to build, you know, a radio show in your case, or a brand, or whatever the case is. I'm going to build this in a conscious way and spread information with it that'll take down this system while I'm using the money of the system, or while I'm using this stuff and dealing with it. So I don't know. It's just like, I'm really trying to evolve past that victimized mindset and help other people do that as well, and see everything as an opportunity, even if it's something bad or negative we have to deal with in the meantime. Use it all, you know, see it all in a chance to better yourself with.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's like on one hand, I'm like, shoot, I don't want disclosure to come tomorrow because I got stuff to do. There's things I want to do before disclosure hits, because it's like, it's a challenge. It's something fun to do. It's, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think that we're coming to the end of the old paradigms when money was created to control the masses and create debt, and that the fake Federal Reserve, which is actually not part of the government but is a private banking cartel, has created a lot of travesties and various things that were a lot of suffering.
To put it mildly.
Yeah, right. there's a laundry list of things we could mention about that, but it's on its way out. And there's been talk about a reset for a long time, and many people have different ideas about it. But I think we're transitioning into what Michael Tellinger calls an Ubuntu, which is an African name for energy exchange, a society where we work with energy rather than with, you know, pieces of paper that have esoteric symbols and magic on them to persuade us to stay in the system.
Totally.
Yeah.
And that's exactly the case, is that when you really, really research money, I'm not talking about just the fiat currency and the Federal Reserve, which is crucial to research, but I'm talking about deeper. You go into what value actually means.
Mm-hmm.
And value is subjective. Value means something different for any single one of us.
Oh, yeah.
And the best example I can give is a fishing pole. A fishing pole to a fisherman is going to mean so much more than a fishing pole to a five-year-old.
Yeah,
and,
right.
You know, so value is this always changing subjective thing, and we're getting back, and that's why energy exchange is so perfect, in that, you know, you take a town, the dude that's really good at fishing is going to have that fishing pole. The people that are really good at doing this deed will require all the, you know, well, all the resources specific to that deed should flow to them. And it's like the resources will flow where they're going to be best utilized, and people are going to barter and trade with each other based upon what they can utilize with those specific resources. And it's a much more sustainable economical system than this scarcity, you know, four-letter word system that we have now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's going to be, I think it'll come in stages, and there will be some kind of preliminary announcement from the major governments. And, you know, I hear rumors about China undermining the dollar with buying oil through their own money. And so there are people who are, you know, attempting to cut the legs off the Federal Reserve, and of course, anytime somebody has tried that in the past, they've been assassinated.
Yeah.
So that's kind of an interesting coincidence. And but at some point, it will have to go, because they're just printing free money and loaning it to their friends and then to the government with interest. So
yeah, and people are always waiting for the mass arrest scenario and yada yada yada, and I think it is coming, you know.
Yeah.
But there's a reason it took so long, and that one of those reasons was because of that victim mindset.
Yes.
You know, they couldn't save us in 2012 because we wouldn't have grown, we wouldn't have gotten the lessons that we needed in 2012. So it's as if 2012 was obviously, many people know now, it wasn't about a big anything extravagant happening physically, but it was so much more behind it than that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's like but on the other hand, it's like I'm looking at humanity, and it's, I don't know, it's like, yes, we want disclosure now to save these people, but at the same time, these people need to learn their lessons, and the best way to learn a lesson is the hard way, unfortunately. So it's like, yeah, disclosure kind of has to wait, because these people need to revel in their choices for a little bit longer and see how bad they are. It's kind of a catch-22 there.
Well, it does seem that we are just about at the end of the lessons. I mean, we've done everything over and over so many times and repeated it that it's like, you know, it's getting rather tedious for everybody, even the people that are setting up the lessons, I'm sure.
No, don't.
Do we have to do another lesson for these dumb clucks?
Yeah. Don't disclose yet. I don't have 100,000 followers on YouTube yet.
But, yeah, I mean, everything really has to shift. And more than one person that I respect has mentioned that we are in that period of time. It's about a 7 to 10 year period, and it's started already. And so these should be really interesting times as they accelerate. Because if we are entering into a new age, and I think we are, then it's going to completely be transformative. And it's conceivable that some aspects will make a choice to follow one timeline that allows them to be to experiment with, you know, the duality and the rest of it, to continue doing that. And other people are looking at an organic timeline, which is very new and which is going to be which may never have been done before. So there's all kinds of possibilities, and it's only halted by our imagination. So it's important to use our imagination to conceive of the highest possibility and the most imaginative resolutions for things that we can think of.
Yeah, we've got the negative Nancy Pants timeline, and we have
right.
the disclosure now timeline.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Do you want to talk a little bit about Disclosure Now? You're familiar with the players.
Totally.
There's Corey Good, I guess, is one, and Dr. I've followed his work for a long time, and I can't remember his name, but...
Dr. Greer?
Well, yes, Dr. Greer is one of them, yeah.
Dr. Sala.
Sala is another, yeah. And there's a few others that are, you know, kind of leading the charge on that. Mm-hmm. And... How did you get involved with that information, and what is your bottom line to it? What do you feel about it?
So I got into I want to specify here. What we're talking about now is UFO disclosure,
right?
Or secret space program disclosure, and I got into that back in about April. You know, I was doing this YouTube channel. Sometimes I was doing, you know, 2-3 videos a day even. And as I was just starting to grow a little bit in popularity, I was, well, let me actually rewind that. Before I even started my YouTube channel, I had written a couple of articles for Justin Deschamps and his Stillness in the Storm blog.
Uh-huh.
And are you familiar with Stillness in the Storm?
Yes, indirectly.
Cool. So, yeah, I wrote a few articles for him there, and Justin was in the same network as Corey Good's producer, Corey Good's business manager. So that's how I kind of got into there. So then, you know, a few months later, my YouTube success grows a little bit, and I proved myself somewhat. And then I talked to Corey Good's business manager, and then, you know, we get in contact. And then I decided to go down to Contact in the Desert back in May in Joshua Tree, California. And when I went to Contact in the Desert in May, that's when I was able to meet Corey Good face-to-face and meet everybody there and start getting to work together. So that's how I got into really this kind of UFO community. And then from there, you know, did some work with Corey. I was able to meet William Tompkins and actually sit down with the late, great William Tompkins for an interview. Interviewed Dr. Michael Sala as well, and then Dr. Robert Wood, and helped them with some of their projects that are still ongoing, actually. And yeah, so that's how I got into that whole side of disclosure. And all of my thoughts on it, on the topic in general, for the second part of your question, it's obviously coming. I mean, we were just speaking on this, and that something's changing. There's a critical mass that is inevitable to hit, if it hasn't hit already. In my opinion, it probably already has, where the, you know, you could say the alliance or whatnot is just, I think we're in this holdover period where they have to plug up all the holes that they can so mm-hmm. they can do these mass arrests and minimize the chaos that'll ensue.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're almost there. We're pretty much already there. And UFO disclosure will come about, you know, mm-hmm. we'll get, I don't want to say all the answers. I think the answers will slowly come out. I don't want to say slowly. They'll quickly come out, but I don't think all the answers will be at once. But we'll start seeing a lot more answers. And then we're going to get disclosure of everything else, which I wanted to specify. Because when I discuss disclosure, at least disclosure to me personally, it's not just UFOs, but it's everything. It's disclosure about all the recent obvious weather modification. It's disclosure about chemtrails. It's disclosure about hidden cancer cures and disease cures and the pharmaceutical industry nonsense and all the disclosures about Pedogate and that deep dark stuff. So yeah, I think disclosure is very soon and it's gonna be everything.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. And it because needs to be everything.
Yeah, because, it has to be because everything's connected, you know.
Right. It's all entangled, and so you can't really just pull a thread out and say, well, this is disclosure. It is all interrelated, and the secret programs and the black ops that have been going on that one person knows and another doesn't, you know, all of that stuff has to come out so that everybody is on the same page.
Totally.
And we're all informed.
Totally.
So, because, I mean, we can't make informed choices if we don't know what's going on, and that's what's been going on. You've been kept in the dark and dumbed down and intentionally marginalized and damaged through vaccinations and fluoride and a number of other things, mercury. I mean, the list is too long to even mention. And, you know, that is not really giving us a chance to rise to the occasion, and yet we are anyway.
Mm-hmm. And that says a testament to humans, because when I look at the amount of stuff we've been subjugated to, like the chemtrails, the amount of not only mercury but aluminum, which is just as toxic if not more so in vaccines, and we have all the fluoride, and especially fluoride combining with the aluminum, it's and then the pharmaceuticals and then the GMO foods and then the EMF waves that we're pretty much bathing in 24/7. You know, most people literally never leave an EMF wave. They're on Wi-Fi in their house. They go to their job with Wi-Fi. They go to their gym with Wi-Fi and back home. And so it's like I look at people, and from one perspective, our population is not that awake. But from the other perspective, it's like, holy crap, how have we endured all of this? So, you know, that's the position I've been taking more so lately. It's like I see how toxified we are, but somehow we're still here. We're still existing. We're still growing and winning, you could say. So, yeah, and having that positive attitude like that is just, I mean, there's really no other reason not to have it. And that's one of the reasons my YouTube channel has gotten so successful is just the positivity that I try to have with every video. You know, it's there's no use not to be positive.
Right.
Even in a negative situation, there's always a positive you can learn from it. That's the magic of it.
Right. And there's a solution for everything. I mean, it's not like these problems were created yesterday, and we're smart and we are capable of coming up with solutions for every problem that has been created. And they could all be solved in a matter of a very short period of time if we all put our heads together and had some unity between us. So, I mean, of course, we've got to agree that, you know, there are certain problems, but I think that's happening because, you know, the same things are being talked about over and over, and people are starting to see that, oh, yes, okay, that is something that seems to be a problem. And so, but they're all solvable, and we will get through this. This period is going to, it'll be our opportunity to step up to the plate and be ourselves and show that we are much bigger than what we've been told we are.
Totally.
Yeah.
Completely. And that's exactly why they do as much as they can to keep us suppressed physically, mentally, and spiritually, is because we are so much more than mm-hmm. we are led to believe. And mm-hmm. absolutely, you know, the mm-hmm. main reason that they chemtrail us, in addition to all the other reasons, the toxicity component, the weather modification component, all that jazz. But in my opinion, the main reason that they spray aluminum particulates over our head is because of our consciousness, is because our collective consciousness. Because mm-hmm. if you look at the word aluminum, the basically how aluminum breaks down, you have lumina, which is light, luminosity. So we have light and the prefix A, which often denotes anti. So the word aluminum means anti-light. Well, if we are beings of light, our DNA works with biophotons. You know, we emit light. That's why they're spraying aluminum on us. That's why they inject it into us. That's why it's in our breads and our foods and our canned foods and all that jazz, is because aluminum literally alters the light capabilities of our bodies. So they mm-hmm. don't want us tapping into that collective unconscious and ascending as a society. You know, they're pulling out all the stops, man, and it's failing. Failing miserably.
Yep. Yep. Thank you.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful how bad it's failing.
Well, there's also a lot going on surrounding Antarctica lately. Yeah. And I've thought for a long time that that's an area that's going to have a lot of attention on it, because there are certain ancient artifacts that are really high-tech devices that are buried there, and remnants of civilizations. And then there's the whole relationship between Hitler and the Nazis and the Tall Whites.
Yeah.
So there's all kinds of stuff there all over the world, there are things that have been buried or are still not found yet that are high technological devices that will be discovered and not be hidden by the Vatican or the governments of the world, but will actually come out and be shown, and we'll get to learn more about our history and our heritage, which has been completely rewritten and is inaccurate and needs an update from those who are in the know.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Totally. And, you know, there's already some evidence that is coming out. We've mm-hmm. seen with the Starchild skull. That's been around for a long time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then Gaia is coming out with their recent little mummified body things. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of examples that we have of beings that are already there. And then there was that one that was in Dr. Greer's first documentary, Sirius. So lots of examples.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only a matter of time, you know, it's only a matter of time.
Well, and isn't it interesting, too, that when Barack Obama was president, he was pushing for nuclear power to be established as the mode of power that we would use into the next generation. Then when he got out of office, Mr. Trump has been focusing on coal, which... and fracking and things like that, which seems to be going back into the dark ages. And mm-hmm. none of that is necessary, because we know that the corporations have taken Tesla's work and developed it to the point that there is a breakaway civilization, and that they have free energy using cold fusion and a number of other methods that have all been patented, and they're using it now. So... that's one of the travesties that we are living under, is that the power control system is using all of the things that we could use here on Earth to transform the whole planet. And they're not going to let us play in their sandbox. So
yeah,
I suspect there will be a way that will all come out, because it's just so selfish and so greedy. And... it serves only those who are making vast sums of money. At some point, money won't even be worth anything.
Yeah, and it's getting way too big. It's getting, you know, the lies they've told, it was inevitable that it would fall because these lies, they can't, being how big they made it, they can't just go and stop telling it. So they're like, oh, I got to keep rolling with these lies now. Okay, so they just keep going and going. And it's like, it gets so big. There's too many humans. There's too many humans. We all have the internet. So it's inevitable that somebody is going to, people are going to start speaking and leaking. And there's people in these programs, people in Department of Defense and in these three-letter agencies that don't want to put up with it anymore. You know, that was inevitable. It just grew too big. So now what we're seeing is the destruction of this system, which is why, you know, who better than to have as president right now than Donald Trump? I didn't vote for him. I support him when he does good stuff. I don't when he doesn't do good stuff, in my opinion. But, you know, I wouldn't – they're pretty – of the choices we had, Donald Trump was definitely the best one. He's the one that needed to come in and burn down the old systems. I think he's in there just to be the battering ram. That's it. He's doing his job of making it so obvious that things are corrupt, and he's burning it down, and then we're going to move, you know – then that once disclosure hits, we can move to a post-disclosure society and revamp these systems.
Yeah, that does seem like a possibility. And if he doesn't, well, then somebody will come along and
yeah,
do
exactly.
It. You know, because
if he doesn't,
be done.
Then
so
we'll probably
if not
get some
him,
kind of
someone.
Military coup. You know,
so it's all good.
Exactly, it'll be all be good regardless, and. Yeah, that with Donald Trump in office, it's polarized people so much. It's amazing.
Yeah, in a way, I think that it was designed to do that because when people get polarized enough, then there has to be some kind of resolution.
Yeah,
because we can't really live in duality. It's not really a natural state because we're multidimensional beings. So to live in duality is to live a limited life, and when you could accept all points of view and take them in and just hold them as possibilities and not align with any particular one of them, but just keep them entertained in your mind and then watch and see what the person does. And we're all capable of doing something creative to solve problems. So instead of looking for the other guy to solve them, why not solve them ourselves? I see where kids are coming up with ideas on how to clean the oceans and how to do this and how to do that. And they're just, you know, they're not even 12 years old yet, and they're coming up with brilliant ideas. Mary Rodwell seems to think that they're, you know, kids that have incarnated from other planetary systems with vast knowledge that has technologies far beyond ours. So it's possible, and if they are, that's a good sign, because who would incarnate here unless they were going to be successful? So that would tend to make one think that, you know, if these kids are incarnating, they're not going to do it and lose. They're doing it because they know they're going to make a contribution, and they're going to help solve the world's problems.
Mm-hmm.
So I see that as a good sign.
Totally. Yeah, it's all a good sign, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Even if we find out that Donald Trump is some kind of controlled opposition, great, fantastic sign. That just means that people are going to be pissed off and want change that much sooner. And then we'll
probably
get some kind of military coup. So great, right?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, the whole political system is really run by the shadow government, which we don't get to see. They're the same people that run all of the world wars and who establish the terror events of our globe and false flags that go on. And they also, through the Great Depression, just did the Titanic. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on, but they're behind all of the horrible events that plague humanity. And I think we need to get to the point where we can bypass that system which is established and not fall prey to it.
Exactly. Exactly. Not fall prey to it.
Yep.
Totally.
So what are some of your favorite causes that you like to talk about on in Facebook and on your YouTube channel?
Anything. just as you said earlier, you know, you're someone who likes to rock the boat, you know. You like
right.
to find where that line is and deliberately cross it just to
right.
find out where it is. And then, you know, then fiddle with it from that point on.
Yeah.
So, anything that's probably as controversial as possible. You know, I don't want to say triggerer by nature, but I like to deliberately trigger people and show them why they're being triggered. You know, it's a hard spiritual lesson. Someone's got to do it, you know?
Right.
And
you're doing
so
it so well.
Yeah. So, and if I get a response back, like say on Facebook in a comment or something like that, I keep it as short and succinct and kind of rhetorical or questioning as I can. I don't like to offer too many answers. I like to show people the way. And if
right,
I need to show people the way in a rocky way, then hey, I'll do it, because I understand if they don't like me, that's just an ego-based fear reaction, and eventually they'll come around. So I like to talk about all the topics that do that. Vaccines is a huge one, in my opinion. The issue of vaccines, it's probably one of the biggest red pills that we're gonna have, because it's gonna make a lot of pissed off moms out of it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The women become pissed off. That's what does it in. So, vaccine issue. Also, because I just have a young one myself, so that one hits close to home for me. I know it very well. And once we can stop toxifying our bodies and minds, which vaccines are the worst of the toxins that we subject ourselves to, then we can start utilizing our minds a bit better as a society. So that's why I hit the vaccine subject hard. And then there is the secret space program, because that's just, not only is it extremely interesting, because when you hear the word, those three words together, secret space program, you're like, oh my gosh, is that a Hollywood movie or something? But like we were discussing earlier, the technology is associated with it. So the electromagnetic energy generators, the electrogravitic mm-hmm. propulsion technologies, the, mm-hmm. you know, call them whatever names you want, but those sciences and technologies associated with these secret space program, it could literally revolutionize our planet instantly. So,
oh, yes.
Yeah, and then, of course, the subject that no one wants to talk about, but we do have to talk about, and that's the pedogate stuff. One I do take one for the team and talk about as much chance as I get. That was a big when I was in Mount Shasta for the Eclipse of Disclosure conference, that was a big that was one of the days I devoted was to talking about pedogate, and then talking about all of the dead doctors that have been found over the past couple of years. So I devoted one day just to like all the nasty stuff that people got to learn, but you know, nobody wants to learn on their own. So I'll make it get into their heads.
Right. And also that we keep learning that these things all start at the top and move down.
Precisely.
So, you know, when there's some kind of announcement that somebody or some level of society has been caught and they're not at the top, then those are just the small fish. The people who run the world are running the big show, and it's a big business to, steal somebody from their trip in Europe or wherever it is and turn them into sex slaves. And then some countries are well known for having a lot of that going on as the children grow up. I know Holland is one of them, and Amsterdam, and all kinds of countries over there that just pretend like everything is normal, and yet it isn't. Of course, there was information coming out about the Clintons going to the private island on the private jet of the man who was sentenced for
Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah,
and super interesting development, wasn't it? Those WikiLeaks emails, especially Podesta's emails that dropped. And man, I'm sure we could talk on that subject for hours. Because in my opinion, what I think was going to happen had those emails not come out is that Hillary Clinton was going to win the presidency. And UFO disclosure was going to happen under her presidency, but it was going to be a half-assed disclosure.
Yeah.
It was going to be a disclosure about aliens and possibly about some of the ancient civilization stuff under Antarctica, maybe reveal a race to humans, or maybe even say ETs don't exist around here. We just found some ancient ruins or something to that effect. But it was going to be some half-assed disclosure, and they were going to hide all of the Pedogate stuff and that human trafficking that we were just discussing. So in my opinion, if Hillary Clinton got into office, that's what would have happened. And you imagine how easy it would be to do that. All they would have to do would give the public just like a tiny little bit of the pie, just give them like a free energy device to wow over, and that would completely wow everybody.
Right.
So much so that they would not even look anywhere else for truth. They'd be like, oh my God, and forget.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And then also another possibility in my mind was that if Hillary Clinton got into office, Project Bluebeam might have very well occurred.
Right.
Where Project Bluebeam, being the supposed government project to put a hologram of an alien in the sky and unite us all under a one world religion to either fight or accept these holographic fake aliens, stage a fake false flag alien invasion. And I think that was very much in the plans to do.
Mm-hmm. It may not be off the table yet.
I think it is now because enough people are aware of it.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, but I think the Pizzagate emails and all that stuff coming out was a serious alliance move right before the election. And then honestly, in my head, I think there was a counter hack done during the election. I think it was about to be Hillary, but there was some hacking prevention that was done by the alliance per se, and they actually prevented those machines from spitting out Clinton's name and being more fair. So that's just how I feel it all went out. I think the emails dropped, and then there was hacking prevention done.
Mm-hmm. Well, it does seem like we're getting help from some extraterrestrial sources that are benevolent.
Totally. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think we all are, and I think they're activating a lot of us. I think they're starting to make themselves known in the dream state. I've had some very interesting dream experiences, and also they're definitely ramping up their showing in our skies. I've been seeing things in the skies everywhere, even in my somewhat suburban town outside Seattle here. Just last week, I was going for a walk, and my girlfriend and I, we were laying on the grass right outside of our apartments here. So it was in the city, you know, and there's some light pollution there and whatnot. And we're looking up and we see a power up. Where do you know what a power up is? Yeah. You know, I'll explain for any of the listeners, but a power up is basically when you're seeing a little dot moving across the sky looking like it's a satellite. And in your head you're like, that's probably a satellite. And then it literally powers up. It'll start flashing a big color and then phase out. And I've seen them before where this one I saw last week was like a nice blue color. And I'm like, what the heck? I saw that right above my apartments.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just blowing my mind how if only we were to strip our faces away from our mobile phones and look up every once in a while, how much stuff we would see.
I live out in the Sierras, and there are no streetlights out here. I'm at the end of a road that overlooks the American River, and I see lights all the time. And my eyes are just attracted to them, and I look, and there's something that is unusual, and it's kind of flashing a little bit. I see colors, and then the more I look at it, I notice that it's moving up, it's moving down, it's moving right, it's moving left. And sometimes I'll just follow those with my eyes for, 10, 15, 20 minutes, and they're fascinating. I don't know what they are, but they're, I know the government has many triangle planes that they use, but these are smaller vehicles, so I don't know where they come from or what they're doing, but they are definitely unusual and unidentified, as far as I can tell. So, and you can also get there are certain binoculars that you can get that will show you the infrared and other aspects of color, and you can actually see further into the atmosphere, and you can see warring ships and shooting and stuff like that. People see this all the time, but those things are really expensive to buy, so I don't have a pair, but a lot of people talk about it, and you can, see them on the YouTube channels. So, and then they're under the water. There's a whole series of people that are following the UFOs that go into mountains and into the water, into the ocean. So they're everywhere.
Ironically, the first man-made UFO back in the 1930s, I believe, by the Germans, it was actually a sub. They retrofitted a sub with an electrogravitic drive because subs are already – they're already airtight. So all they needed to do was retrofit it a little bit, and a submarine was actually the first man-made anti-gravity vehicle that went into space.
Wow.
Yeah, so USOs are basically made to be UFOs.
Oh, yeah.
And – interesting. They call it UFO, which is I was just thinking about that nomenclature the past couple days, calling it an unidentified flying object. And wasn't that term? I believe that term was concocted by the CIA, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
It was concocted by the CIA, and when you look at what it is, it's unidentified flying object, in that. That nomenclature was specifically used to obfuscate the issue, because no UFO ever flies. UFOs don't fly. They levitate or dematerialize or do that, and call it a flying object just right there. One tiny little word shows you how deep the programming goes and how easy it is too. It's so easy to program someone's mind and make them believe something that's false just by hiding little words or phrases or things in there that they didn't even realize. So everybody here is thinking that, oh, these saucers are skipping around space. Like, no, they're not. They're using time to completely traverse space in an instant. So.
Well, Jordan, we're just about at the end of the show, and it went so fast I can hardly imagine. I can't... I mean, it just feels like we just start talking, and here we are at the end.
Yeah, seriously. Thank you so much.
I want to thank you for coming on, and I'll have you back again, and we'll get an update in the future to find out, what you're researching and all of that. And are you going to be anywhere in the near future, or could you tell us your website again so that people can find you?
Yeah, I don't really have any in-person events coming up, but I will be doing a couple online webinars later this month and next month. So you can go either search any of my videos or find that on my website. My website's www.jordansather.com. And then you can also go to my YouTube channel. Again, that's Destroying the Illusion for anybody that doesn't know. And you can find all the info there. And also on Facebook. You know, as you said, you follow me on Facebook, and I'm pretty active on there. I like to utilize that form of social media just to spread knowledge and consciousness and ideas with. So either of those platforms.
Well, you're doing a great job, Jordan, and keep up the good work, okay?
Thank you so much, Lance.
All right. Thank you for being on the show. Good night, everybody.